It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line 0141 951 1025.
The Scottish League Cup semi-final, Hibernian 2, Celtic 4. In the Scottish Premiership, Hearts 1, St Johnston 0. Partick Thistle 2, Dundee 1. Ross County 2, Hamilton 1. In the Scottish Championship, Brechin City 0, Queen of the South 1. Dundee United 0, Inverness Caledonian Thistle 2. Dunfermline 3, Livingston 1. Falkirk 0, St Mirren 0. And Morton 1, Dumbarton 1. Scottish League 1, Albion Rovers 0, Queen's Park 1, Alloa 4, East Fife 1, Arbroath 7, Airdrieonians 1, Forfar Athletic 0, Ayr United 5, and Stranraer against Raith Rovers. It was 1-1, but the game was abandoned after 35 minutes. The pitch was waterlogged. Scottish League 2, Berwick Rangers 0, Montrose 1, Clyde 1, Peterhead 4, Cowdenbeath 0, Stirling Albion 3, Edinburgh City 0, Annan Athletic 1, and Elgin City 2, Stenhousemuir 0. And in the English Premier League, Chelsea 4, Watford 2, Huddersfield 2, Manchester United 1, Manchester City 3, Burnley 0, Newcastle 1, Crystal Palace 0, Stoke City 1, Bournemouth 2, and Swansea 1, Leicester City 2.
Well, that's you right up to speed, so no excuse for not picking up the phone. 01419511025. We are, of course, on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Hugh Keevans is here, Derek Johnson is here, and Alan Burrows, CEO of Motherwell, still with us as well. Lots of you have been getting in touch, directing questions at Alan on Twitter, so he's still here to answer any that you may have at the moment. I think let's start with a happy Partick Thistle fan, shall we, Hugh? Because we've not had too many of them this season. Chris is in Springburn. Chris, you must be delighted.
Hi Duncan, yeah, delighted. Just to take umbrage with Hugh's comments earlier on, I was driving to the game and I couldn't believe my ears and the radio to say in October, when we're just not even finished the first round of games, to say that we are doomed and detached. Okay, with a bad start, but today proved that we've got the players, we've got the squad. I mean, we finished top six last season, which isn't going to happen again this year, but how can you say that we're doomed and detached in October? And to then turn around and say, because Ross County and Kilmarnock get new managers, that they're safe. I mean, I respect you as a journalist, but those comments were just ridiculous.
In your opinion?
No, but Hugh, we finished top six last year with a bad start, with bad injuries. We've not been destroyed in any game. Last week was a poor performance, but every other game we've been in it. Hibs, we took the lead. Rangers, we were unlucky. Well, yeah, we've been fragile, but we're still in there, we're on 6 points.
Yeah,
we're by no means detached or doomed.
And I did not use the word doomed or detached at any stage of my conversation with Mark Goody. However, let me preface what I'm about to say by saying that if I could keep one club in the top six in the division, it would be Partick Thistle. I am forever praising Partick Thistle. I go along to Firhill because it's near the house. I've taken my grandson there and he was royally treated by Kenny Arthur, the goalkeeping coach. He even ended up on the pitch taking penalties at him. I love Partick Thistle. I hope they do stay up. My rationale was based on what others can bring. And if I take it from Hearts down, Hearts are not going to be in the playoffs or relegated. Dundee, I think, will survive. Hamilton Accies, along with Partick Thistle, I think, cannot add to the squads that they've got. Unlike Ross County and Kilmarnock, who in the next window, because of the personal wealth of Roy McGregor at Ross County and Billy Bowie at Kilmarnock, will be able to bring new players into their club. So, my feeling is that out of the bottom six clubs, Hamilton Accies and Partick Thistle have the odds stacked against them.
Well, today, Hugh, against Dundee, what can you base on that Dundee are going to finish above us, based on what?
I just think that Dundee, from the...
They won 1-0 lead today and they blew it.
Yeah.
Their performance haven't been... I don't know, I've not seen much of Dundee, but I don't think you could argue that their performances have been much better than ours over the season. So based on what can you say that Dundee are going to finish above us?
It sounds to me, from listening to Mark Gwee's report, that Dundee threw that away today, given the chances that they had.
Dundee were poor. Over the piece, the both teams, it was a poor game and it came alive the last 10 minutes. But it's such a level playing field from, I would say, as you say, Hearts down.
Chris, do you know the really good thing, Chris? This is the way I see it, sitting here listening to Hugh's predictions. You shouldn't be offended by the predictions, because see, if they go wrong, then you can just call up like this again in a few months' time, and if this will make the top
six.
Duncan,
but I get that, but it was just stepping it into her, and I was just a bit.
Well, listen, you're a happy man today, and you're entitled to your happiness. But if you lose to Hamilton Accies midweek, you'll be back to where you started.
Well, I understand that, but I can't see it, because based on Hamilton,
with respect, Chris, because you just can't see it, doesn't mean to say it won't happen.
It's going to be a close battle anyway, whatever way you look at it, Derek, because Aki's obviously surrendering up in Dingwall. They managed to take it late, but yeah, it was 2-1 to Ross County.
Well, when you look at it from Dundee down, there's only 4 points separate these five clubs.
That was my point, Derek.
So a couple of wins is amazing. You can go up two or three places. So, I mean, I can understand where Hugh's coming from, you know, and the clubs and the new managers that they've got in and the wealth that they've got, you know, the people who own the clubs. So it's rationality, you should say that, but it is a wee bit early, and I hope Partick Thistle, I'm like you, a Glasgow club, I'm hoping Thistle will get out of this as well.
Well,
and today we'll start it off. Today they'll get a huge lift from that.
You want to come back in, Chris?
No, I agree with Derek saying it is a bit early, but as I say, we're definitely not at the woods yet, because they say we've got Hamilton on Tuesday.
Yeah, a lot of work to do. That's a big six-pointer, you're right.
Yeah, I would take a point, Derek. I would take a point there.
Mm-hmm. The thing about this life, though, in this life, this football life, you give your opinion, and there are 28 games left. Sure, I've given my opinion with 28 games to go. Chris has also given his opinion, and there are still 28 games to go. So, we're talking about football, not life or death. We're talking about football. So, at the end of the season, if Partick Thistle survive and Hamilton Accies survive, everyone can come on and say, "You said," and I will quite happily take my punishment. But we're talking about a game of football, and there are 28 fixtures left. I've given an opinion.
Thanks to Chris, the Partick Thistle fan in Springburn. A happy Partick Thistle fan, I would imagine. Sean is next up, a Rangers fan from Stirling. Wants to talk about Louis Moult, though. Good evening, Sean.
Hiya, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, good. You?
Questions just for anybody, really. Does anyone think that Louis Moult could get in an English Premiership side? They're getting a lot of praise lately. So,
Alan Burrows, I'll direct that one awkwardly at you. I know that you guys at Motherwell clearly like Louis Moult a lot. That's maybe an understatement, but an English Premier League team, that's also a big leap, isn't it?
It's a big jump. Listen, I love Louis Moult to bits. I think he's a terrific player. He's a great goal scorer up here. Whether or not he could play at the Premiership in England, I'm not entirely sure. I certainly think he could play Championship in England. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he's good enough to play at that level. I think he's good enough to play for probably just about every team in the Scottish Premiership as well. So I think the Premiership in England may just be a little bit of a jump there for Louis, and I think even probably he would admit that himself. But, you know, I don't see any reason why he couldn't play for one of the very good Championship clubs in England who have probably played in the Premier League before.
But it'd be a huge jump for 95% of the players in Scotland, never mind Louis Moult.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I mean, he's a great striker. I mean, I like him as a striker. I mean, I can see everything in him. Somebody who's got a nose for a goal, somebody can hold the ball up, you know, somebody can go wide and bring people into the game. He's got everything you would expect of a striker. And I think if he was playing for a good club, if he did go to Rangers, I'm saying if, I think he would be a huge asset.
I think he's probably Motherwell's equivalent of Jamie Vardy for Motherwell.
Yeah.
But
it's just a harsh reality, isn't it? I mean, you look at some of the teams near the bottom of the English Premier League. Pluck one out of thin air. Bournemouth,
Crystal Palace.
Bournemouth, you know, Jermaine Defoe, 130 grand a week or whatever it is. Yeah. So it's almost unfair to ask the question, because I think we all accept that Louis Moult's probably not ready for that level, but you don't want to seem too critical by saying that.
I think a good comparison, if you think of the guy who scored the most goals in Scotland, is Lee Griffiths. And the last time when Lee Griffiths was in England, I think he probably struggled even at Championship level when he was at Wolves, albeit I don't think he's quite as good as a player as he is now.
Yeah.
But I think, if you take that as a benchmark, you know, the English Premiership's an extremely high standard. You know, there's guys, you know, world class players played at that level. And I think I love Louis Moult, and, you know, there's nobody who thinks more of him than me. But, you know, that I think that'd be a big jump for almost every player in the Scottish Premiership, yeah, bar maybe one or two.
Sean, I suppose whatever way you're looking at it, you'll just be hoping that Louis Moult doesn't do the damage against your team tomorrow.
Yeah, I think he's the biggest threat apart from Morelos. I just think he could do some damage off the bench for the likes of Bournemouth or Stoke or.
To be fair, he has played, to take your point, Sean, he has played in the Premiership for Stoke, you know, albeit he was a very, very young kid at the time and came off. So he started there, and he, as we talked about earlier on, he dropped his way down the division all the way down to non-league and minimum wage, and he's worked his way back up again. But, you know, it's even in that time span, you know, the last 10 years, the Premiership's went crazy, really, in terms of the money. It's jumped up even a bigger level now. But, you know, I love him, and you know, I hope you won't take offence to the fact that I hope he does the business against your team tomorrow.
Great stuff. Thanks to Sean in Stirling for that call. We're going to get round to discussing some of the other big talking points from today. Celtic fans, I'm sure you're home from Hampden by now, I would imagine. So I know the roadworks were bad, but they can't be that bad. 01419511025. Let's remind ourselves of what Brendan Rodgers had to say in terms of coming off the back of Champions League, and of course that penalty decision that went in favour of Hibs.
Absolutely delighted. You know, it was a brilliant result for us, and after, as you say, the exertions of midweek and travel to come to here and play against a Hibs team that we've seen a few weeks back, that they can be a real threat. So to get four goals, you know, it was clear there was a little bit of fatigue in our play at times, which is only natural. When you got that affects the technique. But I thought throughout the game, you know, that mentality and concentration of the players, and actually then how they did work the ball in a lot of moments in the game, and to end up getting four goals was absolutely brilliant. So I tip my hat to them, because it could have been a real banana skin for us today, coming to here, as I'm sure probably a lot of people might have thought. But I thought we dealt with that really well, and get to our third final in a year.
What were your thoughts on the penalty in the second half? I think most of us thought it wasn't.
Well, I would have been in your camp then. Sometimes you look at it and you get that initial reaction, and then you go back on the repeat and you see it, and then you can, okay, maybe see a decision. But my initial reaction at the time was that he recovered well, Dedrick. You know, the boy's running, you know, frontal with the ball, and he comes in, gets his toe, and then the ball is misdirected. So it was two poor decisions, one by the referee who was on his way back, and then he's looking at the help for his linesman, and then he's obviously facing it, and how he gave the penalty, I'll never know. So, but I gave them a little bit of oxygen, and also made us really have to refocus on our game. And I thought the players then pulled themselves back into it really well.
Michael's a Celtic fan in Greenock. What did you take away from today, Michael?
Well, all right, Gordon. How you doing?
Yeah, good.
DJ,
thanks.
Hi, Michael. And who's the boy? It's at Motherwell.
We've got Alan Burrows with us.
Pleased to meet you, Alan. Look, there's a couple of points. The penalty kick is a disgrace. Another genuine, honest mistake, as everybody puts it, which is happening too often in football. It's not just happening in Scotland, it's happening everywhere. I'm getting fed up with it. And see, it wasn't Kevin Clancy that gave the penalty, it was the linesman. But that was the linesman that done the Celtic game at Inverness Caledonian. It didn't see the handball for the penalty kick, the same linesman. So that boy's been put on the mill again with today. And
are we sure about that? I'm just going to double check. Not that I don't believe you, I just hadn't seen the list of the assistant.
Michael, did you watch the Celtic game in midweek?
Yes.
And what about the goal that never stood and the sending off and the penalty? Some things go for you, Michael. It's as simple things go for you.
If possible, I do think it is better, just for this debate, if we just stick to that decision, because then we could go around all day with that. Let's look at this one.
No, I'm not. As I said, Gordon, I'm not on to talk about Wednesday. We got a lesson on Wednesday off a top European team. That's got nothing to do with the day. As I say, it's happening too often to Celtic in penalty kicks, which is a disgrace, and nothing is happening to these referees and linesmen. Let me finish, Derek. They're on nearly £1,000 a game, which is a disgrace.
Well, and I can't, listen.
Listen, Michael, you obviously think it wasn't a penalty. I think it was
a penalty.
It was a penalty.
Oh, my bonnet, it was never a penalty,
Derek.
You
said bonnet there. Well, listen, that's why the game's all about opinions. You know, Brendan Rodgers said never a penalty. Neil Lennon said Stonewall penalty.
Just to be factually correct, Michael, I don't think that was the same assistant referee. So
I'm sure it was, but I don't know.
Okay,
maybe I'm telling you it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't. Right, that's okay.
Let's talk about today then, in terms of that, Hugh. I mean, it just shows you two people see things differently.
Yeah.
I mean, we've said it, and I don't mind saying it, because it just shows you the way it splits. You two think it was a penalty. I don't happen to think it was, but that's sort of how we go about our business here on a Saturday.
Michael comes into that constituency who believe that the referees have it in for Celtic. But for me, I'd look at Dedrick Boyata's part in it all. He gives the ball away clumsily. He then comes and tries to retrieve his mistake by going in on the Hibs player in a way that, for me, was naive. And, you know, it was part of a clumsy afternoon that Dedrick Boyata had. And that's why I say that Celtic need to get other defenders in, because Boyata, Sviatchenko and Simonovic are not what a club like Celtic
you know
need.
What, you know what, you see that happened at the other end of the park. Celtic fans would have been screaming for a penalty.
Of course.
Michael, I think you also wanted to talk about the ticketing situation, didn't you?
Yes. Oh. How can Hibs not sell their... Sure come on the radio last night and said it was a sellout crowd. Me and my dad listened to the game. He listened to the phone in last night and he said it was a... Hibs never sold at least 11,000 tickets. Is that right?
Yeah.
They sold 11, they didn't sell the other 9.
The other 9,000, okay, I'm sorry for 2,000 tickets.
Alan Burrows is with us. Alan, you did touch on it earlier, but just explain to us how these decisions are made, and I know you're not privy to all the details, but basically how this situation perhaps occurred.
Listen, I don't know, I quite understand how that situation ended up, or the lack of ticket sales. I suppose that's something you'd have to put to Hibernian, but... what I can say is we were in the meeting when allocations were decided. As I mentioned earlier on, Hibs felt that they could take their full allocation, and I suppose, you know, I think it was only Saturday against Aberdeen, I think they had 19,000 at Easter Road. So I suppose if I was the chief executive at Hibernian, you know, you can make a decent case for that sort of level of ticket allocation. We were slightly less about that than that, given our attendances at Fir Park. So listen, it's disappointing. You don't want to, I suppose, see empty seats, but you know, I'm not privy to quite the whole thing, so I'm loath to criticise.
Given, Alan, that the semi-final gates are pooled, aren't they?
Yep.
Four teams get a split.
Yeah. Has this, in fact, then cost you at Motherwell money?
I suppose that, in theory, yes, but. I suppose what it's difficult. What we need to be cautious of is saying that if Hibs gave them on, then automatically they'd be sold. They probably would be. I don't quite know what the Celtic's demand was. I think they were on general sale at Celtic. You know, the caller may be able to tell me one way or the other. So from that point of view, it's dead easy to say, well, if you'd have given them back, Celtic would have sold them all, and therefore it would have been a sellout crowd. You're always in the hypotheses. I heard you talk about it a little.
Yeah, but the guarantee is that if Celtic had received the unsold Hibs tickets, they would have sold them.
And just explain to us why then that perhaps doesn't happen or can't, Alan, in terms of segregation. Is it all to do with where the tickets that you've already sold are situated? Yeah. Because you would then have Celtic fans.
Right. Yeah, you'd have them interspersed effectively with each other. And there's also, it's the access that gets, we're starting to really get boring here, but you know, it's about how you access the ground and what turnstiles go to what areas. So teams can only have certain areas of the ground. You know, that's why in our allocation with Rangers can only come round a certain part, because or they have fans going through the same turnstile into the same area of the ground. So yeah, I think having watched the first half on TV before I come in, you could see obviously the north stand at Hampden was split almost right down the middle, and that would then obviously stop Celtic fans being able then going towards the west stand.
If a club insists on a 50-50 allocation, should that club then be made to pay for their 50% allocation up front?
Then would they ask for it again?
I can see that rationale if you're, I suppose, a Rangers or a Celtic who have the crowds every week and having that. I suppose Hibs could make, you know, very good arguments. You know, Leanne can handle herself, so and dare say if she wanted to speak on this matter, she will be able to. But you know, Hibs are a big club. Hibs, I think if I was sitting as the chief executive at Hibernian, you know, I would have been confident in my ability for the club to sell that many tickets. I don't know quite why it hasn't. You know, I'm not close enough to the situation through there to understand that quite the reasons for it. But you know, that's something. I don't know if that's what the inference was from Celtic's statement. Yeah, they went out yesterday about how they, or this morning about, you know, how they're writing to the SPFL to ask how this has to be kind of taken forward. I don't know what the scenario is.
I'm not blaming Leanne or anyone else associated with Hibs. I'm talking in general terms. If you insist at the meeting, the pre-match meeting, I absolutely insist that you get a 50% allocation, the same as Celtic or Rangers, whoever you play, then, and come up well short, then I think there's a case for saying if you insist on a 50% allocation, pay for them up front then.
Alan, yeah, because we don't want to point the finger at Hibs without knowing specifically what's going on. It's important, I suppose, that they get their right to tell us if there's anything that we've missed. But in terms of what Motherwell did, because that'll be your specialist subject, you didn't manage to sell all your allocation, but because they were sold in such a way as the tickets were going round the stadium away, you know, towards the segregation, you could then give your excess tickets to Rangers essentially, and that's what you did.
Yeah, listen, we got an allocation of approximately just less than 10,000. We had the ability to call in another 2,000 or 3,000 more in the east stand, which is one behind the goal, if we required it. But what we said you know, quite early on after we've seen the sales over the first couple of days, is that it looked quite likely that we weren't going to get to probably 10,000. I think we're sitting around about 7.5, 8, around about that number at the moment, which for us, is, as you talked about earlier on, is a good number for
double
us.
Double your crowd.
Good. Yeah. But what that allowed us to do is you just effectively move the segregation line a little bit closer. It allows you to get a couple of more thousand people in the ground and Rangers, and I think I've sold them. So yeah, it makes for a busier Hamden tomorrow.
And it makes you money as well, because you split it off, doesn't it? Really?
Absolutely, and it makes more money. So yeah, listen, that's the way we tried to do it. We sold it in block by block. And to be fair to the SPFL, that's how we were instructed to sell it. So yeah, that's allowed us to do that. I don't think we could have went any more, even if we hadn't sold any more tickets, just gone that segregation line and the turnstiles point. So even if we hadn't sold any more tickets, so that's probably the maximum Rangers could have went in terms of the makeup of how Hamden is.
Okay, David's a Celtic fan, but he wants to ask Alan a question about Scottish football. We'll get to that after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly. The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard's open line.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are alongside me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Got a special guest tonight as well, Alan Burrows, CEO of Motherwell. When I contacted Alan through the week, I said, well, keep you on till 5 o'clock. You'll no be interested in open line, but we've enjoyed him so much and he's Absolutely. Enjoyed us that he's still here. I think Absolutely. That's what it is anyway. David is a Celtic fan and is that George's Cross? Very specific. You like that sometimes? We're very specific. David's actually got a question for Alan. David, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Not
First of all, I'd just like to see guys like Alan and Leanne Dempster, Nan Budget Hearts. They should be the guys that are in the future, in the next few years, fast track to run in the SFA and Scottish football, if they want to, of course.
Alan's journey's been hectic enough, so I think we'll leave him where he is at the moment. But you never know, David. What's your question?
Well, what it is, within the terms of realism, I assuming we don't just have bags of money overnight, what would Alan and his position change in Scottish football quickly to make it better, more desirable to other countries, whatever? What would he do to make it better to watch your football and for other places to take notice and increase our revenue, things like that?
A similar question you were asked earlier on Twitter, Alan, but it's different times. People perhaps didn't hear it, so here is your chance. What would you change?
Yeah, hopefully I'm not born MD who was listening on earlier on. I said to the question earlier on, David, that I would look at a summer calendar. I would have some sort of feasibility study into whether or not that would actually make a big difference. I think the upside of playing in better weather, and I say better in inverted commas, I think playing on better pitches, I think not being in competition with the English Premiership and even English leagues for 2.5 months, I think the ability for clubs like Celtic, Rangers and others who regularly qualify for Europe to be midway through their season when they're going through very important qualifiers. And I just think giving fans something a little bit different is probably one of the things that I would like us to look at. I also did quantify it earlier on by saying there's probably quite a significant opposition to that amongst clubs in the top league in Scotland. That's certainly not a uniformed opinion. But it's something I would like to see us at least look into to see whether or not that could actually help improve the game in any way, shape or form. I think there was a Scottish supporters survey done recently. I think over 80% of them were quite interested in at least looking at summer football. So that's something that I would do to change it. And I do accept that amongst people listening and people even around this table that might not be something they necessarily agree with. But I think everybody would at least welcome some sort of chat or debate or let's look into it to see whether or not it can make a positive difference.
Excellent. Just a supplementary question. What do you think the resistance is from the top, or from some teams and some clubs? What's the resistance on that?
What I sense, and we've never really had, I'm going to be honest with you, we've never really had a full and frank debate about it at any meeting I've attended, really. But the sense that I get from people, is particularly amongst the bigger clubs, is they don't want to take us out of line with some of the bigger leagues in Europe, England, Italy, Spain, Germany, etc. I think that they feel that then belittles our competition a little bit, or at least takes us out of kilter with the calendar, particularly when it comes to European football. And, you know, particularly argument may have been waning perhaps, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. I think what the point I'd raised earlier on is that Celtic qualifying for the Champions League in the last 2 years may have solidified that position slightly. You know, I think when we were going through a stage where we weren't getting any Scottish teams into the group stages of the Champions League or the Europa League, it certainly, I think, strengthened my point of view that actually having Scottish teams playing halfway through their season in the summer would actually help them qualify. But, you know, it's a bit of a debate. But I'll be 100% honest with you, it's never really been on any agenda of any league meeting that I've ever been at in the 3 years I've been doing this.
Right. Okay. Listen, thanks very much. I see. I think the way you actually guys like you coming onto these programmes and explaining like you did there with the ticket issue helps things Scottish football move forward as well for the fans to understand exactly what's going on behind the scenes. Thanks very much, guys. I appreciate that.
Thanks for the call and the question. That was David in George's Cross. Let's get some manager audio to you, shall we? We always like to do that as quickly as we can. St Mirren fans, any of you out there, what did you make of today's game? Doesn't sound like the most exciting, 0141 951 1025, but you're still at very much at the right end of the table. What did Jack Ross make of that game against Falkirk?
Wanted to win the game. I know that sounds blasé, but we, the way we are at the moment and how we've been over the last 9 or 10 months, we come home or away and believe we can win the game. But what I would say is it was a really tough game. Knew it would be. And am I satisfied with the point? Yes, I think it's another step forward for us.
You thought you'd win it at the end?
Yeah, I think if there was any player on our team that would deserve to score a winning goal for us, it would have been Cammy Smith. His performance level was what it's been over the course of the season. You know, his work rate is incredible. We shift him around depending on what we need to do in the game, and wherever he goes, his quality is good as well. So he's disappointed because I think he's probably spoken to you and would want to score, but I don't have an issue with it. If he had scored, I would have been delighted and have taken it, but I'm sure Paul would have then felt aggrieved, because I think over the balance of play, I think a draw was probably a fair reflection on the game.
It's not been very many 0-0s in your time here either, where you set your team up, so
yeah.
Take the positive of the clean sheet at least.
Yeah, the clean sheet, but the point in general, just because within, there's a lot of good times over the last 9 or 10 months, but we haven't had many games like that where we've had to be resilient and dig things out. I've said that to the players 9 or 10 months ago, we would have conceded and we would have lost the game. We've got a stronger belief as a group now, and for me, that point today is an important one. I think I keep saying it, it sounds a very simple way to say it, but we came here as league leaders and we leave as league leaders, and I'll take that for every game between now and the end of the season. Now, whether we win the game, lose the game, or draw the game, because that's ultimately what it's about for us.
Derek, today was never going to change it either way. St Mirren not managed to go and do anything spectacular at Falkirk, but it's the type of result on the road that if you can continue to win other games, it may well still see St Mirren at the right end of the table come the end of the season.
Oh, I'm no doubt whatsoever, because I think they've got a decent squad now. They're still, you know, 2 points clear of Dunfermline, who won today, but sadly for Falkirk, you know, they go back down to second bottom. Cali Thistle go above them after their win over Dundee United. But I think St Mirren are a good side to watch, and I think they're certainly going to be up there or thereabouts, you know, come the end of the season.
Back on this ticketing situation, just before we get to Stuart and Hamilton, I know he's been hanging on quite a while. We will get to you in a second, Stuart, but John is in Parkhead, wants to talk about the empty seats at Hampden ultimately today. Good evening, John.
How you doing, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm good, you?
Hi, thanks very much. Just a wee bit to Alan. Alan, a breath of fresh air, pal, listening to you tonight.
Try to say you're fed up of us, John.
Aye, well, especially
something like that.
Especially to it's next to you, that Derek and Shoe.
Obviously,
Shoe now made the point last night, and the guy was on a couple of calls ago that it was going to be a great spectacle, two great clubs support. We know what happened, Shoe told us 9,000. But Alan, I was reading online there that but that happened today, it's going to cost, like say yourselves, Motherwell, Rangers and Celtic, £62,500 each. That's a wee bit in the record. I know if it's that's what they're quoting, £62,500.
Well, Alan, you know how they've come up with that figure, and you tend to think it's slightly different. So just explain.
Yeah, I think the basic calculation is 10,000 empty seats times £25. Gives you the number, then divide it by four. It doesn't quite work like that, because obviously you've got the cost of Hampden to take into account, and you know you've got also tax and other things that you have to pay on that money as well. So, you know, if you assume, and I have to say it is an assumption, if Celtic would have sold all those tickets, those 10,000 tickets, then yeah, obviously there'll be a net bump to all of the rest of the clubs. But that then assumes that Celtic were going to do it. I think just when we're going through the advert there, I think Gordon thought they probably would. I think, you know, maybe others in the studio agree that, I don't know, but yeah, will there be a bump to other clubs? Yeah, of course there will be. But if you assume that those tickets would have went had they switched tens to Celtic again.
So closer to what then, if you were to put a figure on it?
It's difficult, you know, because why it's not 25 is because obviously you've got juvenile, you've got concession tickets in there as well. So you have to take the average ticket price, you know, of any game. Usually if it's a £25 ticket, your average price of a ticket will probably be, depending on what your concession prices are, will probably around about £18, £17, £18, round about that.
Give us an educated guess,
yeah,
man.
Sorry. Yeah, you're probably talking. I reckon if you, I'm not saying Hibs have cost us this because I don't want the headline to be Mullow say, you know, Hibs have cost us whatever amount of money. But you know, if you take 10th in any game like this, if you take 10,000 out, it probably cost the clubs 25,000.
There you are, John. So that's a bit more of an accurate figure. Yeah.
Can we make a wee bit point for tomorrow's game, please?
Yes, absolutely.
If you don't mind, Derek.
I'm listening, John.
Derek, how you doing? Derek, what do you do tomorrow? Do you also, is he going to also going to bring back Ryan Jack in the place when the Austin's replaced Jason Holt? I would love to. Honestly, God, I like Jason Holt, and I know he's Tavernier's box to box, but is there not a possibility we could play Jason Holt, Graham Dorns and Ryan Jack? No, can that not happen? No.
So who misses out? Who misses out? No, if it's a 4-3-3.
Aye, that's right. Well, how about, I don't like the Josh Windass is kind of hot and cold. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He's, when he plays, he plays. When he doesn't play, he doesn't play. I actually feel rotten for Jason Holt because I like Jason Holt as a footballer. Yeah. He gets himself about. I see he's box to box.
He's got legs. Yeah, I agree.
He's got a good engine in him. Yeah. I mean, he's got a good tank, but. Also, when it comes to these games, there's always somebody sadly's got to miss out.
Sure.
Ryan Jack's done well since he...
But do you know what, John? I think the Rangers team will pick itself tomorrow. Right. I think it'll be the same back five. I think Jack will come in alongside Dorans.
Well, remember, Anik's going to be in goal, Derek, because he's the league cup keeper.
Yeah. Right, you know, Anik will be in there. But Cardias, Peña, Windass and Morales, that's going to be the four. I think you can pick the Rangers side. I agree with you at times. Jason Holt should be in there. I like him because he's in and about players, you know. And I mean, Jack and Dorans are good players, but don't have the legs.
But I mean,
good footballers.
As you say, something has to give. If you want to bring Holt back in, then you know
you've got to change.
Peña is going to not play, or Windass.
Peña's scoring goals. That's the only reason he will play. If he doesn't score goals, he doesn't give an awful lot to the team, and that is a problem. That's why right away when Celtic scored, they took him off and brought on Kenny Miller because he wasn't giving them enough.
Yes.
Three points for Shu. Shu, how you doing?
All
right. Shu, I just want to talk about, and you've spoken about this a million times. I mean, that's a semi-final today, right? It's probably maybe getting beamed in over. It's going maybe parts of the world, maybe parts of Europe. Uh-huh. And you've mentioned that a million times. That's embarrassing today for a semi-final. I mean, this was the same team, Hibs, who demanded a 50-50 split against Rangers in the cup final.
Yeah.
Demanded. 21,000 season ticket holders. I mean, that's a major... I mean, it's a major semi-final today. You mentioned that a few times. I watched the highlights in Sports Scene in a Sunday night at one time, the early edition and the late edition. Uh-huh. And it's becoming embarrassing, Shu, some of these stadiums when Rangers and Celtic are not playing. Nothing against you, Alan, but you look in the stands, Shu, there's nobody there.
Well, let's
there's a game on a couple of weeks ago, St Johnstone were playing somebody, and the section behind the goal, if you look to the left-hand side, maybe Rangers or Celtic fans go, there was not a soul in it.
Yeah.
It wasn't even open, I don't think.
Sometimes the eyes tell you one thing, Hugh, but I'm sure Alan will tell you that, you know, Motherwell's average home crowd is probably sitting somewhere as close to where it's always been in the last couple of years. Is that fair?
But I'm trying to take the caller's point on board that you can see
today. Let's talk about today.
You can see Kilmarnock week in, week out. Rugby park's empty. Stevie Clark will change that. I honestly believe Stevie Clark will change that. So clubs have their individual concerns, but to address today's game, I think if you insist on a 50-50 split of the tickets and virtually guarantee that you'll sell them, then to avoid an embarrassment like today, and I agree with the caller, it's our cup semi-final. It's a big gaping place that's empty. I think you should be asked to pay for the tickets up front then.
Back to the phone lines we go. Stuart is a Hamilton fan in East Kilbride, and I'm going to guess he's an unhappy man this evening, Stuart.
Oh, very, very unhappy. Thanks for the call, guys.
No problem.
Yeah, once again, Hamilton take the lead, and once again, they've chucked it away. That's the last five games, I think, we've done that now. Now, Mr. Canning, his record as a Hamilton manager is absolutely astonishing. His win percentage is something like 20% or thereabouts. Now, I spoke to Hugh and Derek this before, and we get the same old nonsense, oh, we're punching above our weight, blah, blah, blah. We have got decent players. The problem is we just don't have a decent manager that can actually make these players play better. Canning was a really good centre, halfway played with Hamilton, and yet that team simply cannot defend, and they cannot defend cross balls. We've got a centre half there who's 6'7", and he can't jump to head the ball at all. This is just going to continue until the end of the season. We're going to be relegated almost certainly. We play Partick on Tuesday, I think it is, and again we're going to lose that. After that, we've got three really hard games coming up: Rangers, Aberdeen. I can't remember who that one is, and it's in our top six, and Hibs it is. So, yeah, I don't see where we're going to get any more points from. And unless something changes shortly, we're definitely going down. And the crowds are going to diminish even more, because we've got a lot of unhappy Hamilton fans.
Stuart, let me just ask you, and I'm not disagreeing by any means, I'm just curious. So which players in particular do you think are good enough for Hamilton to be up there, and therefore it being the blame lying at Martin Canning's door?
Yeah, I mean, the players are decent. They've got a decent midfield. Generally speaking, they've got a reasonable defence. The players, can't, when you put their mind to it, they are good players. Just Canning is just simply not getting the best out of these players. That's the problem.
Stuart,
like, the board's not giving them any... To be fair, the board's not giving them any support either. We don't have a striker. If we're not going to score goals, and we're letting goals in left, right and centre, it's a bad combination, and there's only one way it can end, is we're going down. Other clubs have had the balls, if you like, to take an action and change things. We just won't do that, unfortunately. We are going to be stuck with Mr. Canning, but
well, that's why I say. I think we get your gist, Stuart. I think we're really on the wavelength now. We get it. For me, it's a practical matter now. The Ackies have lost six games on the bounce. They've got Partick Thistle to come. If they lose that one, it's crisis time. It's a practical matter now. There's no point in shouting at me or Derek or Gordon or anybody else. It's a matter for Ronnie McDonald and Les Gray now. If they think that Martin Canning has outlived his usefulness, it's up to them to do something about it. If they don't, then they must publicly stand by the manager, and everyone can then be held responsible for what happens, good or bad, at the end of the season.
Stevie in Paisley wants to talk about Hibs' penalty decision at Hampden. That's coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly. After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard's open line.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are alongside me, Gordon Duncan, as always on a Saturday evening. It's the open line. That means if you've been at a game, you've even heard your team's result coming in, maybe you couldn't make it, but I'm sure you've got something to get off your chest, good or bad. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and we've got a special guest, as I keep saying this afternoon, Alan Burrows, CEO of Motherwell, looking ahead to a massive game for his side tomorrow. Let's get back to the phone lines though. Stevie is in Paisley, wants to talk about that penalty. Yes, that one. Stevie, what did you make of it?
It's a penalty.
And you're a Celtic fan, Stevie, yeah?
Yep. Yeah, again, Derek Boyata, like Hugh says, he's been found wanting again. There's no need for him to dive in there. He's clearly touched the ball, but he's brought the man down. Now, when you're running at that pace and there's any connection, the striker's definitely going to go down. And again, it's a penalty. It's as clear as day. He's gave away four penalties now, as far as I'm concerned, for things like naivety, jumping into tackles when he doesn't need to. And I've got another point in relation to Craig Gordon as well.
Just lump them together, Stevie. Elaborate then, because if it's your general defensive area that you're concerned about, go on, get it all off your chest.
Obviously, we don't see what goes on in the day-to-day runnings, but Craig Gordon cannot play with the ball at his feet. He's created numerous chances for other teams recently. He seems very lacklustre. I think what he's needing, I'm not saying Doris De Vries is the correct answer, but I think what he's needing is some more competition in there, because as far as I'm concerned, he's too comfortable in the number one slot for Celtic.
I'm reluctant to criticise Craig Gordon. Apart from the kicking, you're absolutely correct, Stevie, when it comes to the kicking. And, you know, Brendan Rodgers made it clear when he became Celtic manager that he wanted the goalkeeper to perform in that way. And I'm not sure that Craig Gordon can do it for him, but I think he's a very fine goalkeeper indeed. What you said about Dedrick Boyata, no harm done today, because Moussa Dembele came and sorted things out, and that was the most important feature of the day for Celtic. But Dedrick Boyata will cause harm on other occasions. If you're talking about the Champions League, the mind boggles at Cavani, Mbappe and Neymar in Paris with with Dedric Boyata. And for me, it's an area of real concern for Celtic. Simonovic does not have the body, and Brendan Rodgers has made this clear, does not have the body to play European and domestic football on a regular basis. Sviatchenko has been out for ages, don't know where he is now, but he is not a Champions League quality player either. So Celtic, for me, Celtic do not have a top class central defender at the club.
I think you've been a bit harsh on Craig Gordon. I know today there were a couple of times, you're right, his passing was terrible. You know, but he all he's seen is backs of players. The manager's telling him, I don't want you lumping the ball up the park. I want you to play from the back through midfield. We're going to play natural football. So it's in his head. It doesn't matter who's charging him down. He's got to try and find a player. And if players are not making angles for him, he should just be walloping the ball down the pitch. But he doesn't do that.
You understand, Derek, your opening gambit there was his passing's been terrible over the last 6 or 7 weeks. His passing's been that bad. It's setting up chances and we're losing goals.
But I think 95% of the time he's finding a man. It's only now and again he gives a ball
away.
Do you think
overall, Stevie, because you can obviously look at the last 6 weeks in isolation, or you can look at the overall time that Brendan Rodgers has been in charge, and that's when we saw that extra emphasis on Craig Gordon. Do you think he has got better as a whole with his feet?
I really do think he's got better, but that's I think down at the backroom stuff. I think we've got a great goalkeeping coach there. I think obviously the ex-Motherwell man's fantastic, but I've just got a quick point. I was on social media there for the Motherwell
Alan.
Is it chairman?
Chief exec.
That's coming up in a couple of years. Don't worry about it.
Slow down.
£62,500 you lost today by Hibs not selling their tickets. So £62,500 to Motherwell, Rangers, even Celtic.
I don't know, Steve. Sorry to butt in. Alan answered the point a minute ago. His calculation, which I have reason to believe is probably a bit more accurate than the story you've read, is probably a bit closer to £25,000. But that's not to say that it's not important, but just to try and get a bit more of a figure on it.
Serious money for Scottish football.
Absolutely.
Bill, Alan, put that into context for us, because again, we're not pointing fingers. We don't want to say whose fault it is or whatever. But £25,000 to you, what's that, half a player's salary for a year, someone in the office?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, multitude of things I could do with £25,000 at a club like Motherwell, for sure. But listen, as I said to you earlier on, I'm loath to criticise Hibs or any other club for that matter just on the tickets, because I don't know the scenario that surrounds it. I'm not entirely sure what went on there. And I said to you, that would only, the extra money only assumes that all those tickets would be sold. And, you know, I think people can make good educated guesses on whether or not they would be, but, you know, I can't really speculate on that. Unfortunately, it's one of the things I can't do. But would I prefer it to be busy and have more money at the club? Obviously, you know, I've got the fiscal responsibility of Motherwell Football Club to look after. So the more people at the both games, obviously, the better for us as a club. So yeah, too ideal. Ideal for us would be two full Hamdens over Saturday and Sunday, without any doubt.
Brian's in Dumbarton, the Aberdeen fan. Brian, what's in your mind tonight?
Sorry, I'm just jumping out of the taxi now. I've got higher than that.
Do you know what I was going to say?
Celtic supporters, and I'm going to start bad-mouthing Celtic.
I was going to say Brian the taxi driver, and I thought, nah, do you know what, this time I'll just let it slide. But you've done it yourself, so let's try and not upset your hire too much. What have you got to say about Celtic?
Well, I'm kind of hoping that if they get absolutely mullered in the Champions League, which they will, and subsequently in the Europa as well, that the realisation that the Messiah isn't actually the Messiah will sink in, and it may actually soften them up a wee bit for Aberdeen to sneak in and take the title. What do you think of that issue? It's an opinion.
It's a weird Scottish thing. You know, your team can't do well in Europe, so let's run down the man who got into the Champions League. And made your club £370,000 this week.
I'd be delighted if they continued as well, because either way, if they stay in, then they're going to be tired. It doesn't matter to me if they go all the way or if they get put out. As long as it tires them out and gives Aberdeen a wee fighting chance, that's all I'm caring about.
The reality
of the situation is, though, that they're not going to go all the way and they're not going to do anything in Europe.
Brian's assessment, I suppose, only really stands, Hugh, is if you deem Bayern Munich and PSG as an appropriate way to judge Brendan Rodgers.
No. You know, there's undoubtedly glee throughout the land. If you don't support Celtic, there's absolute glee throughout the land at Brendan Rodgers struggling in Europe. But Brendan Rodgers and Celtic have the last laugh because they've got £60 million in the bank. And they're also subsidising the rest of Scottish football at the same time by getting into the Champions League. So, and he has 60 domestic games undefeated, Brendan Rodgers. So the default position for Brian the taxi driver is to try and belittle Brendan Rodgers. But I'll confine myself to Wednesday at Pittodrie. I think it's going to be a fantastic game, and I think Aberdeen have an outstanding chance of being the team to end the Celtic run. And I base that simply on defence being the weakest part of the Celtic side. But I don't run down Craig Gordon. He could be the one that thwarts Brian's ambition. But it's going to be one heck of a match.
Yeah, Brian, are you up? Oh, Brian's gone. I was going to ask him about Aberdeen, but he's gone. To be fair, he's got a fairy hat. He's got a job to do. He can only speak to us for so long. I can just imagine the look on the
people talk about him behind
people's
back.
Faces coming into the taxi and thinking, not only am I going to have to put up with his radio choice, he's actually on the phone as well.
I think the thing about supporters, you know, that they cannot get at Brendan Rodgers in any other way than to say, well, you lost to Bayern Munich, as if somehow everyone else in the country would not lose to Bayern Munich, you know. But we all know about Brendan Rodgers, 7-0 Barcelona, 5-0 Paris Saint-Germain, 3-0 going on anything you like against Bayern Munich. They're out of their depth. They're in the Champions League, but the Europa League team. We all know all that, but £60 million better off for the experience.
It's that time of the evening where I ask you for the final thought, Hugh. Sum up what we've learned today.
Moussa Dembele's back. Derek McInnes was there to see it at Hampden. We've got a classic match in the making between two sides with 20 points in joint top position of the Premiership coming up Wednesday night, Pittodrie. We've got a great semi-final tomorrow. Celtic are in the final. Most people think Rangers will join them there on November 26th, but Alan Burrows, Stephen Robinson and everyone associated with Motherwell will believe they can upset the odds, and that's why it's going to be another great afternoon.
Yeah, finished Hibs 2, Celtic 4 at Hampden. Elsewhere, Partick Thistle 2, Dundee 1, Hearts 1, St Johnstone 0, Ross County 2, Hamilton Accies 1, and our featured game in the Championship, Falkirk 0, St Mirren 0. Alan Burrows was our special guest. Thank you very much for joining us, Alan.
Yep,
thanks as always to Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, in the studio. Thanks to the top team as always around the ground. But as always, the biggest thanks goes to you guys. Thanks to everyone who phoned in, tweeted in and listened at home. The GBX is up next. I'm sure that's the ideal way to start your weekend.
Can't wait. Night.
You'll have that turned up in the car, Derek Johnson. It's good night from us though.